right, so let's talk about smiling through the pain.
I mean, I don't really want to.
Our heart is breaking.
This is your territory.
Which is such a sad song.
Smile, your heart is... Which was written by whom?
Charlie Chaplin.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Charlie Chaplin.
But I think it's important, though, to share with the world where you first were introduced to that song, because it was probably the same place I was first introduced to that song.
File footage not found.
It was My Girl, Too.
Oh, I...
It was My Girl, Too.
I really haven't... I've seen bits of My Girl, and I've never really seen My Girl, Too.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean... It's worth watching just because of how
Anna
formative
Klumsky.
That is. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm shocked she did not have like award nominations for the first movie, at least.
Well, I mean, or even much more of a career, I feel like, other than Veep. Like,
she's
she didn't
done
have like a young
stuff.
Actor career. Like, she didn't blow up there.
Well, I mean, she did do some movies after that, and I saw them.
File footage not found.
She did a movie called Gold Diggers with Christina Ricci, and I did love that movie. Mm-hmm. It was like a kid's adventure movie, and it was definitely lesbian coded.
Oh.
I enjoyed it very much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but then I think she is the one who stepped away and like did some other work and went to school. But what a like perfect return for Veep. I mean, she was also in 30 Rock. I know. Look at that. A 30 Rock piece of trivia that I know that you don't know. She's Floyd's first. She's the other Liz Lemon.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's her.
Wow.
That's right.
Look at that. Uh-huh. What a winding path we've taken away.
I know. What a winding from smiling through the pain. Well, which is what Veda did a lot.
She did.
Did she smile through it? Maybe. She also screamed.
His glasses.
He can't see without his glasses. Mm-hmm. She did a lot of that.
She did.
Because that is what the character was experiencing.
Yeah, smiling through the pain. I mean, I think this comes from more of trying to smile and have a good time, even though we might be incredibly just overwhelmed or tired from experiences.
I think that's a great moment for a trail.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean that like sincerely.
Oh.
Because obviously we were tired this day because we'd done so many trails this week.
Week, yeah.
But I do think sometimes, despite being tired, tired and exhaustion, maybe not go out into a, you know, a treacherous trail or something
No.
But emotional pain, that is a great place for a trail.
Sure. Oh, gosh. We've been there before many times.
Many times.
Mm-hmm. We've taken many a trip where our hearts have been broken and we're just like... I need nature to help me along with my sister girl.
When somebody loved me, everything was beautiful. That's our sad girl song, everybody,
Every
from Toy Story 2.
Every hour spent together
lives within my heart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a smiling through the pain song.
If there ever was one.
Not a Sarah McLachlan original either.
No, she sang it.
She didn't write it.
But no. That was all Randy Newman.
Which is wild. Randy Newman wrote
that song. It's so in her voice. It's so like, it sounds like it was just like, and that is, I think, the beauty of writing, which now we're going into a totally different subject matter.
It's a cold open, baby.
That's only a writer could do that. Only a writer could be like, I know what this moment needs. I know what this character's experiencing. And I... know the voice that I want to hear sing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
AI could never.
No.
AI cannot, like, it can't do the thing where it, like, understands. I'm not going into AI here, but I'm just going to say AI could never.
No, it couldn't. I think there's been some interesting commentary about that recently, too, since we're going wide here, specifically in media that we've both recently consumed, both The Devil Wears Prada 2 and even Hacks has had a lot of come for commentary. And I'm like, keep coming, keep loading it on.
Exactly. I do feel like it is a responsibility that we owe to certain members of our community to acknowledge that, yes, we saw The Devil Wears Prada 2. Like most things, I enjoyed it more than you. But
yeah, we really did go wide here.
We did. But I really do think it met the moment in a very poignant way.
It did.
looking for adventure. I want to follow on the trail or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky. Don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real. You can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national park.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Saguaro National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Tone Odum, Odum Jued, and Hohokam people.
So that was a very wide cold open. We went to a lot of places
we
there.
We did.
Good for us.
When she loved me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody, I do have to say this week I saw the incomparable Heather Headley, who is a queen and a legend of the stage and screen. If you watch Sweet Magnolias on Netflix, she's on that show. But she did a concert and she actually sang that song. And I called you right after and I was like, girl, she sang our song.
Sadness.
Uh-huh. Okay, so back to the hiking trails of national parks, which, for the record, if you're like, they talk really wide. Well, I mean, have you heard the title of our show?
Yeah.
So anyway, if you joined us for our last episode on desert drives and nature trails in Saguaro National Park, you heard all about some of the smaller trails and the scenic drives inside of West Saguaro and East Saguaro.
We had 2 full days in Saguaro. The first was spent on the west side, mostly hiking to Wasson Peak and back along a variety of trails. And we also drove the Bajada Loop Drive and explored the Desert Discovery Nature Trail. On day 2, we drove to East Saguaro, which is the less visited of the 2 sections of the park, but no less resplendent. Here we drove the Cactus Forest Drive and stopped at the top of this loop road to hike the Desert Ecology Trail.
So there was only one other small trail we wanted to hike, the Freeman Homestead, and one longer trail that was on our radar, and it was called the Cactus Forest Trail. And so that's what we decided to do this day, that we were going to do those 2 next. And so in order to get to the Freeman Homestead, which was at the bottom of the loop that we were currently on this little scenic drive, we technically could have hiked the Cactus Forest Trail all the way down back to the car, but our bodies were still warming up and waking up for the day. So we decided that what we're going to do is take the drive down. That gave us plenty of options for what we could possibly do later.
And so this was about a 15 to 20 minute drive down to the southern point of Cactus Forest Drive. It's a park road, so it's slow. We are just seeing really incredible desert plant life and cacti the whole way down. And there's next to no one on the road. But we were also here on the very early side of things at this moment in time.
After arriving and parking, we decide that this is going to be a sneakers hike because we knew it was going to be mostly flat. So we had had our boots on for so many days.
Yeah.
And so like our feet really needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't take packs with us, just bottles of water because this is a 0.9 mile loop. And it's still early and overcast, so we aren't really building a lot of heat yet. And while there is a little bit of elevation change on this trail, most of it is minimal and very gradual.
The sign that we encounter at the trailhead tells us to take plenty of water and to allow for an hour of hiking. And I think depending on the time of the year and the time of day, that's a very true statement. However, we were pretty sure that just our water bottles at this very early time of the day when it was relatively cool was going to just serve us absolutely well. But it's always good to pay attention to those signs, especially on a desert hike. So, you know, our experience may be very different from someone that's going on the hike in June, which I can't imagine wanting to do.
No, I don't necessarily think I want to be in this park in June.
No, no.
I just feel like it would be way too hot.
Yeah.
So as we're on this trail, we quickly realize it's going to be an interpretive trail, which excites us. There's a lot of signage, small placards that identify plant life on the trail. Something like creosote. We got to see a creosote here, which is a tree that this park is known for having. And creosotes also serve as...
Nurse trees.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say mother trees, but it's...
Mother trees.
Nurse trees mm-hmm. for that's a gaga bush. Saguaro. Correct.
Mother tree.
Mm-hmm. And creosote is one of those plants that smells really good after a rainstorm, especially after one here in the desert. Creosote is similar to a rosemary and lavender and other plants whose leaves are potent. It is uniquely found in the desert.
Mm-hmm. We also see signs that talk about the different cacti, including the teddy bear cholla cactus, which is very cute, but is a no touch. That's a big ouch. You shouldn't touch any cacti.
No, but it looks so soft.
It does.
But what is it actually? What is the softness stuff made of?
Spines.
It's
sharp
all spines.
Barbs.
All of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We encountered an octeo plant, which can look like a bunch of dead spines reaching for the sky. But if it has recently rained or the plant is nourished with water, it greens up pretty quickly. And it's definitely nice to have identification here on this plant, as we had seen a few earlier on our hikes, but didn't really know the whole story behind it.
So we learned a lot more about how plants of the desert are nourishing to animals of the region. Some of this we'd learned on other interpretive trails here and in other parks, but we also heard about how some of the plants were used not only for food, but also medicinal purposes.
Other plants we see on this very maintained trail include the foothill Palo Verde, the brittlebrush, and of course, more saguaro and prickly pear cacti. After walking for a bit, we get a little bit of incline, but it is by no means insurmountable. And we have great views of the desert around us, as there really isn't any major landscape to block our view here. This is a relatively flat section. It's not as mountainous, at least right here, as what we experienced in West Saguaro.
So eventually we make our way to the Freeman Homestead and find not much of anything left except some small areas of flooring and foundation, a sign, and some benches. The Freemans, like many who moved west, applied for the plot of land through the Homestead Act in 1930. They received 640 acres, of which they could farm, graze, or mine. Originally, it was a three-room adobe building, but now only the remains are here. And while there's not, like, much to admire or see as far as ruins go, the trail itself is a lovely walk and kind of perfect way to get started for definitely the two of us, because we were feeling very slow this morning.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, some context. We had hiked a lot every day.
Yeah.
For the last 6 days.
Yeah. Yeah, we were hiking for, like, 7 days.
How were you feeling this morning?
We were exhausted. Like, the heat of Saguaro was more intense than what we had in White Sands, which we were in the day prior. Mm-hmm. And I think the heat combined with the hiking, combined with the elevation, combined with the total mileage that we had encountered the entirety of the week was very draining at this point. And I think we were just both sort of like, we're here. We should do something.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't want to like lose out on the experience of seeing the eastern side of the park. I'm glad we saved it for day two, because front loading is a thing. And front loading a big hike like Wasson was really nice to do first. And then this was like kind of the perfect amount and speed I think we needed to be at for this day. Yeah. What about you? How were you feeling?
You know what's funny is I don't remember much of this, probably because I was tired. Mm-hmm. And by remember much of it, I mean I remember the spots on the trail and the markers of the trail and those all the things we saw. I remember all of that. I vaguely remember how I was feeling at the time.
We were smiling, though our heart was breaking.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Apparently.
So we continued and found ourselves looping back and seeing some really large saguaro along the way. And even though the path is wide and pretty clear, there are still some trail markers along the way for us. As we are on our loop back, the sun starts to get a little higher in the sky, and while it isn't hot yet, we're definitely feeling the warmth, and it was not in the air when we had first started. It was definitely much cooler to start today.
We pass one of the interpretive placards that identified plants, and we saw some of the plants, and we're able to see them that the placard was talking about, including jojoba, barrel cactus, and chain fruit choya. Eventually, we make the loop back to the car, and it was about 40 minutes after our start time, which allowed us now an opportunity to get some water, get a little snack, and take the very short drive that we were going to need to take in order to do the Cactus Forest Trail.
And with that, let's take our first break.
We know that there are so many ways to get outside and explore the national parks. And if you are thinking about finally renting an RV this summer to have an adventure of a lifetime, then look no further than Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States, making it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one.
They have thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, available right in your neighborhood, and you can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It's so easy. It's only three simple steps to get started on your adventure.
First, search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. Then, book with confidence. Insurance, support, and protection are all included. And finally, hit the road or arrive and relax, whether you're driving, towing, or getting it delivered.
As people who love exploring and love getting into the national parks, we don't own an RV or camper, but sometimes we want that. And that's why Outdoorsy is the perfect solution.
Right now, our listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code GAZE at outdoorsy.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com, and use our code GAZE, GAZE, at checkout to remove service fees. And that is outdoorsy.com. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! All right, so we're playing Pentagram. It's been a minute since we've played this, and I feel like since we just talked about this film, we should probably summon Miranda Priestley.
Oh, the character.
The character, yes.
Done. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I am summoning Miranda Priestley, well, I'm going to have to include the mock-up book runway, mm-hmm. the mock-up of runway with like all the post-its all over it. Mm-hmm. So that's going in there.
Mm-hmm. I think that I would need to include, well, a pair of Prada shoes. Like, how do you not have that? Like,
or Jimmy Choo's.
Jimmy yeah. Choo's, yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, either Jimmy Choo's or maybe like Christian Louboutin's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a fashion girly podcast now. But a pair of heels for yeah, sure. A
pair of heels. Because flats are for quitters.
Right.
Yeah.
Flats are for quitters. Oh my God. Okay, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. So okay, I like that. Let's mm-hmm. say Prada heels. Mm-hmm. Right? Does Prada make shoes? I would imagine Prada makes shoes.
I just know that they use the heel for the poster promotion, so I'm assuming that that yeah. was also
well,
a shoe.
Well, it needs to be a heel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is a...
It's so funny. So when I think the Devil Wears Prada, I don't think that the shoes are Prada.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I just like associate it because of the...
Interesting.
Because of the poster. Because that's a very iconic poster design.
Is that?
It is. It is. So we've got heels. We've got a mock-up of the cover of Runway. Mm-hmm. I feel like we also need fresh Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Her
piping hot.
No, it is, but it's a skinny, no foam latte with a shot of espresso, piping hot. Mm-hmm. I think it's a shot or maybe two shots, but maybe one shot. But mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, definitely the Starbucks. We have to put a coat, like one mm-hmm. of her big dramatic coats that yeah. she like dumps yeah. on a desk.
Yeah.
Or struggles to hang up yeah. in the sequel. I have to say, the outfit she's wearing for like the 3 seconds where she's like hanging up the coat, that was my favorite Miranda outfit of the whole movie. Mm. And I was like, I have to do research to find out what that outfit is because I want that exact outfit. Mm-hmm.
And I think the final thing is a table with the flowers.
The table with the flowers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. You hang the dry cleaning in the closet mm-hmm. and you put the book on the table with the flowers. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I think that would be our 5 items. And poof, the devil has arrived.
So it seems we wanted to get some steps in today mm-hmm. on this day while mm-hmm. we were hiking. I mean, mm-hmm. we are both people who enjoy getting in steps.
Yeah.
But
we'd much rather see a park on our feet than in the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And a city as well.
Yeah.
But we were definitely ill-equipped to like head out to some kind of larger trail system that was north of Cactus Forest Drive because there were more trails up there yeah. and a little more backcountry trails.
Yeah.
So in planning this leg of the journey, we thought we would hike the space between the north and south part of the road on the Cactus Forest Trail. So it's a 2.5-mile one-way trail, which means we would ultimately hike 5. So our plan was to walk from the south end of the road to the north end of the road with the possibility to tack on some smaller trails that are within the loop. So all in all, that would be a 5-ish-mile trail.
We find some parking on the roadside as there isn't a specific parking lot here, and we take some time to fully gear up, slipping on our boots again and getting our packs on. So this is a multi-use trail, as we soon discover, and hikers and horseback riders can often be seen on the trail along with bikers. We didn't see anyone that was doing these activities while we hiked, but there were other cars here, and we did see some other people who looked like they were perhaps biking Cactus Forest Drive, as they were on road bikes and not on mountain bikes. And as we just specifically said, this is a quieter section of the park, and Cactus Forest Drive is like a really nice loop that one could just drive in the car on or probably bike on.
Which you should definitely do.
Yeah.
Yes. Even if you don't get out on the east side, you yeah, should definitely yeah. go to this side yeah, and at just least drive this yeah. loop. So it's a relatively flat trail, which we welcome given the nature of the rest of our week. There's some elevation gain and a little bit of loss, but for the most part, it is smooth sailing here. Again, like most trails here in the desert, there is no shade except the shade you give each other. Mm-hmm. And so
you thrust upon each other.
Completely exposed the whole time, mm-hmm. which is what shade does. It exposes you. We were in full sun this entire walk.
Yep.
So covered in sunscreen, mm-hmm. head to toe.
Yep. Clown white.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're like us in St. John and get some Revlon color stay.
You'll hear more about that next season.
You will hear more about that next season. Mm-hmm. But I also have to say, did not come out of my clothing.
Oh,
when
no.
I know I have to bring it to the dry cleaner.
That's okay.
Ooh. I know.
All right. So we hit our first sign on the trail, which tells us the distance to the North Cactus Forest Drive and also the Lime Kilns, which is a smaller circular trail that is close to the Lime Falls Trail, which seemed like something we would probably add in. The initial part of the trail is through kind of lower brush and trees, and really not a lot of cactus are here. It's almost kind of like a little meadow, as there are mountains in the distance that are kind of green too, and it almost doesn't feel like the desert at all when we're starting this hike. The path is wide and it's sandy, and it leads us through more low brush, but eventually we get to areas of cactus and we start to see all manner, Barrel, Choya, and Saguaro, to name just a few.
When we're about 0.7 miles of the way in, we end up hiking down just a bit, and we have to cross the Javelina Wash. The sand is a little looser here. It's a wash, so sometimes there's water flowing through it. But it's not too much of a trudge. After bounding up out of the wash, we come to the crest of a hill, we'll say hill, which allows like a little bit of a better view down the path and into the distance towards the North Drive. But this is where we start to have a little more variation in elevation on the trail. As we move, we can get to a point that feels way more desert-like with variations of plants that we're now seeing.
As we continue on the trail, it narrows a bit, but it's still wide enough to have two people side by side or crossing in opposite directions. We continue to hike our way out, and about a mile and a half out on the trail, we encounter the offshoot for the Lime Falls Trail. The day has started to get hot here, and we're definitely still a little zonked from everything we did the day prior and the whole week that we had had. So this is the point where we needed to make a decision. Would we take the 0.3 Lime Falls Trail, so that would be 0.6 there and back, and then continue on towards the North Cactus Forest Drive on the Cactus Forest Trail, or would we go north and then come back and swoop in to the Lime Falls Trail on our return?
So we had decisions that we needed to make. And with that, let's take our second break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Skip to me, Lou.
Skip to me, Lou. So mm-hmm. Skip is the first name. Mm-hmm. To me mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. the second name with an accent on the last part.
Mm-hmm. On the I.
Right. To me. Like Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. And then the last name is Lou.
Lou. Mm-hmm. Skip to me, Lou. My
Skip
darling.
To me, Lou. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you when I hear Skip to me, Lou, mm-hmm. what comes to mind?
Great. I have a picture in my head too. But
to me, it is that. Those precious older people who sang Skinnamarinky-Doo, those people.
From The Elephant Show.
Yes. Was that what it was called?
I think it was called The Elephant Show, right?
I mean, I watched it as a kid.
Me too.
Yeah. I watched that show. There was another guy who had a show that looked just like the guy on that show. Uh-huh. And it was about like outdoors stuff, and it was in front of a live audience.
Was it Mr. Wizard?
No, not Mr. Wizard, oh. But watched him too.
Yeah.
I loved Mr. Wizard because he was like, you can do this at home too, because all you need is salt, baking soda, and a glycemic, you know.
Thyglocculator.
Thyglocculator, right. Which you can find at any thyglocculator store.
Uh-huh.
That was Mr. Wizard. but no, Skip to Me Lou feels like of that time.
Sorry, thyglocculator is reminiscent of.
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
Correct. Uh-huh. It's where you get the, mm-hmm. that's where ammonium thioglycolate comes uh-huh. from.
Yep.
So,
because
I'm
got wet.
Sure that that is, because it got wet. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. That, oh, my God, that moment, that scene is never not funny. Mm-hmm. Because it got wet. I think that would be a Mr. Wizard episode where mm-hmm. you're doing
chutney's
a perm,
chutney's
from, perm at home. Mm-hmm. You're doing chutney's perm at home. Mm-hmm. God, look at us. We're going mm-hmm. wide.
So that's the theme of this episode, wide.
Going wide. But Skip to Me Lou feels like a drag performer
from
of
the
that
Elephant
time.
Show? I think it's called The Elephant Show.
Like the late 80s, early 90s kids show. They could be like a little bit clownish. And I think Skip to Me Lou is also an androgynous. Like, I don't know that they're... They are genderless. They
it was
are,
called The Elephant Show, and their names were Sharon, Lewis, and Bram.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Sorry, Sharon, Lois, and Bram.
That's right. There were uh-huh. two women and one guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was a CBC show. It was Canadian broadcast.
Well, they make the best things,
but
don't
Nick,
they?
Nick picked it up. I loved The Elephant Show.
I loved that show.
So that feels good. I was also
like
feeling 80s, but mm-hmm. I was feeling like a little Cyndi Lauper-esque.
Okay.
Like with like tutus, brightly colored
I mean, I think
stripes.
That's definitely...
Yeah.
I'm feeling mm-hmm. like there's a clown aspect to Skip yeah, to Me Lou. Okay. Maybe they are...
Clown drag?
Yeah, a little bit like that. So I yeah. feel like, you know, you can go in any direction
yeah.
with clown drag.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think there's like... proper clown performance involved with Skip
sure.
to Me Lou.
Like
it's
this.
A character that is definitely drag because it's extreme, but it's extreme like into strangeness and weirdness
mm.
that's also still like innocent and playful.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I also am going to throw this wrench in. I'm like, I think Skip to Me Lou could actually be the name of the drag clown group, Skip to Me and Lou.
Oh, I love this.
And then this, so also like this also like elephant show ass.
And then they have bits that they do with each other. Mm-hmm. Like it reminds me of like the clowning in like Slava's snow show.
Sure. I love Slava's snow show.
Well, it ran in New York for a long time.
I don't know this
it's
piece.
It's a really beautiful, I really liked it. It was a really beautiful like clown piece. And yeah, it was well done. Mm-hmm. But that level of clowning of like, yeah, we're doing silent action with each other and like, and it's playful and it's fun.
Yeah.
What's funny is like when I saw Slava Snow Show and I was reading the playbill, they were like, here are the performers. There's no way to know who's playing what character on what night.
Great. I love
as
that.
As in it, they kind of just get here and see who's doing what.
That's fun.
So, but Skip to me and Lou, mm-hmm, feel like that kind of troop.
Yeah. What,
they're a troupe.
They're a troupe. So what do they sing?
Well, I think their music is, I don't think they sing. I think they are facial expression, silent clown performers.
So it's like miming almost?
Yeah. A lot of people think mime and they think black and white. Mm. But like, I think mime is absolutely involved.
Sure.
So I think there's music that they have that underscores the stories and the bits and the things that come.
Or are they storytelling the songs that they want in the show? Like if it's like they're playing Fernando by ABBA, are they creating a tableau that is story based, that's mime-esque?
Are they creating a visual story?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the story of Fernando. Mm-hmm. They might be.
Okay.
Well, what kind of performance based on a song would you want to see from them? Now I'm thinking about Fernando. Obviously. Oh my God. I don't know why this is coming up, but I'm going to share it, which is Mr. Tanner by Harry Chapin.
I don't know her.
It's this beautiful song about this man who wanted to sing, who would sing while he was doing laundry. And like people like really pressured him in order to like sing publicly. And so he did a show at Carnegie Hall and he got really bad reviews. But he went back to his hometown and he kept singing while he did laundry and remembered, you know, what he did. And so he didn't become a professional, but he went back to singing because of the joy of it.
So are they doing, are they performing like story songs?
I think I like that. Okay. Story songs, something like that.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah. This is, I think, our longest drag queen or our longest drag corner in history. But you know what? It's worth it for this troupe, Skip, mm-hmm, to me, and Lou.
Mm-hmm. So, Thaddeus and Gentle Thems, please welcome to the stage, Skip to Me Lou. All right. So, after capitulating for a bit, which is such a good word, and weighing our options, we decided that we would do the Lime Forest Trail now because we may not feel like doing it if we came back and we were sort of just fully done for the day.
Because it got wet.
Because it got wet. So we already sort of knew the lay of the land and what the Cactus Forest Trail would be like. So we decided that the side quest would actually be a good little jolt to what was a kind of very sterile kind of hiking situation, in that it was sort of the same thing over and over again on the Cactus Forest Trail.
So the lime kilns were also on the Cactus Forest Trail, and we were definitely going to walk as far north to see those. And we didn't know if we were going to go beyond that or not. But here we are now on the Lime Falls Trail, and this was a great little side quest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not very long. Mm-mm. We turned off the Cactus Forest Trail because the way we were headed when we were walking north, we had to turn right off of the Cactus Forest Trail, and we found ourselves in a very wide trail, but it did feel like a wash because we were now suddenly down below and everything was up above. So as we continue to walk, we start to see some more lush grass and some lower shrubs off to the left on the trail. And we quickly realize that there is water flowing here and that there are some rivulets on the side, which feel almost like a little rain garden, and some areas that cross the trail that we also have to cross over.
As we continue on the trail, there are rockier lower sections and boulders, and there's more water that's running through here. It's mossy, and water aquatic plant life is here that kind of clings to the edges of these boulders. And we were curious how much of the year water was present here and if we just happened to luck out. The trail continues to wind us out to some outcropping of boulders, and this is where we get to gain some elevation and do some fun scrambling things. It's not terribly, like, intense here, so this is kind of very doable, but it just is a little bit more elevation to what was relatively flat for all of Cactus Forest Trail. We do see some more people here that are coming back from what we assume is the apex of the hike.
Which, when we reach the top, is an area with quite a bit of water and some more growth that seems to be dependent on the water to be as abundant or as lush, as we weren't seeing these types of things elsewhere in the park. After enjoying this water moment that we got here and the little bit of climb that it gave us, we decided to head back out the way we came and make our way back to the Cactus Forest Trail. So side quest complete.
Mm-hmm. Check.
So we turned right and we continued on the Cactus Forest Trail, and just a little further north is the Lime Kilns, and that is where we went to.
So this trail was just a little loop that provided you a more close-up look to the kilns from above and at oven level. So we took the lower trail first to see the kilns from the lower level, which would be the oven level. These kilns provided bagged lime for the city of Tucson and were a hot-button issue as the owners of the kilns and the ranchers of the area clashed, as the ranchers' cattle used the mesquite and Palo Verde trees for sustenance and the lime kiln operators used them for fuel. And eventually this issue was decided in court, and the court sided with the ranchers and the kilns closed. Lime had a variety of uses, including construction, agricultural, and also in the tanning process. And these are all things that would have been needed in burgeoning cities of the West.
We round our way down the bottom part of the loop. We make our way to the upper section, and here we're able to gaze down at the kilns and get a good look into these defunct relics. They were huge.
Yeah, they were really big.
So after coming to the top of the loop, we decided that, okay, we'll walk a little bit further on this trail. Again, we're tired, but we're like, okay, well, we're here.
And it's that only a mile.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is an argument that is hard to fight you on.
Yeah.
Because I also feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm like,
when are we going to be here again? Yeah.
But we're here right now.
We're here right now.
It's rare that we don't do it and we're there right now.
Mm-mm.
But we decided, why not? So we continue hiking north. We see more cactus on our way, of course, because, you know, this park is named after them. We also see lots of different kinds of cacti, not just saguaro. But it's starting to get to the very hot part of the day, and it was also fairly windy right now, which actually was a bit of a relief. Because this is actually why we didn't do Wasson Peak on the second day, because the wind was supposed to be very high. And doing that trail while the wind is high would not have been a good combo.
No, no. As we walked a little further down Cactus Forest Trail, we encountered what was the floor plan of what would have been a storage shed for an observatory that was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps. Eventually, this space became a residence for rangers, and finally, it was leveled in the 1960s. We make our way a little further north to what ended up being Cactus Forest Drive, and we basically just about face at that point and turn back. And we're making good time as we sort of have the wind at our backs, and we're also ready to get back and have some time to just rest where we were staying.
We pass the Lime Kilns again. We also pass the Lime Falls Trail. And as we continue to hike, we try to keep ourselves occupied. But we were getting to the delirious place very quickly.
Yeah,
that's usually when games come in for us.
When
we're in the delirious place, we use games to like keep our minds sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So we will play One Letter Change. We'll play Pentagram. We'll play all the games that you hear us play on the show when we take our first breaks. But we had to do a lot of that here.
Yeah, yeah.
We suddenly on the trail see a Gila monster, mm-hmm. which we did not think we were going to get to see.
No, not on our bingo card.
No. And as somebody who's afraid of snakes, especially poisonous ones, totally fine with the Gila monster, which is apparently very,
very poisonous.
Very poisonous.
Yeah.
Gila monsters are very dangerous. And now they only react, obviously, when they feel threatened. And y'all, Gila monsters are so chill. This was an extremely chill Gila monster. There he was just hanging out and then just was like, you know what? I'll just head over to where I need to go. Like, I don't need to bother anybody. I mean, that's sort of the energy that we got from that Gila monster.
Yeah. Yeah. We gave it a wide berth and we just allowed it to make its way across the trail before we continued on. And after a little bit more huff and puff past the wash and up and out, we eventually made our way back into the meadow-like area of the trail and then finally made our way back to the car. And after we took all of our gear off, changed back into our socks that we had on with our sneakers, and made our way back to Tucson, we ended up spending a lot of much-needed downtime from this amazing week of hiking. So let's put the Cactus Forest Trail, the Freeman Homestead Trail, and the Lime Falls Trail on the Karen Stone scale. So what do you got for, I'm sorry to do this to you right now, but I just saw a mouse run into your bedroom.
What the fuck?
So here we are now, and it is fully a week
fully
later.
Fully a week later, because that mouse ate your house.
Right.
Right.
Right. I do live in an apartment building that is from 1928.
It's pre-war, darling.
Right, it is. And yeah, and occasionally a little field mouse finds its way inside.
But who always spots them? This moi.
You do. I do think that you bring them with you when you come to my space. Because the only time I've ever seen them is when you're there.
Mm-hmm. We come to this space to be tragic.
Right. I do think you carry them in your pockets.
Just like
and
Andy
they are your friends.
And just like shake them out.
And then you, right, exactly. Exactly. So
the blanket was mice.
we paused recording there because I needed to reassess what was going on and try and see if I could find where this thing came from and went. Crisis averted. I've dealt with the problem now. But now here we are a week later and we are wrapping up. So let's put all of the little trails we did on this day on the Karen Stone scale.
Great. So Cactus Forest, Freeman Homestead, and Lime Falls Trail.
Yes. So Cactus Forest Trail.
Cactus Forest, I would say, was like a 3. You had definitely had a little bit of elevation gain and loss, but for the most part, it was pretty flat, minus, you know, maybe seeing a Gila monster or a rattlesnake, which we didn't see on this trail. But possibilities are endless. I didn't think it was terribly crazy.
No. I was actually going to say 2.5. Okay. So 5.5 Karen Stones out of 20. Okay, and next
Freeman
up we
Homestead.
Have the Freeman Homestead Trail.
The Freeman Homestead Trail. Oh, that's a 2 for me.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's a trail. It's not paved.
Yeah.
But it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, 4 out of 20 Karen Stones. And then finally?
The Lime Falls Trail.
Yeah, this was super easy too. I think only because it's not like paved path, I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah, I think, well, you also have to climb at the end if you want to get to the top of the falls.
Oh, that is true. So maybe there's a 2.5.
Oh, I was going to say 2, but yeah. Great. Because it's short. So a 6.5 out of 20 Karen Stones. And with that, let's end this episode with some Jeopardy-style trivia.
All right, Mike. I'm going to get us started today.
Great.
This is called Desert Rhyme Time.
Beautiful.
So all of the answers rhyme, and there is something associated with one of the answers that is connected to the desert.
Great.
For 100, this is what you'd call constantly working at and trying to be over and over again this general term for a large desert succulent. If you're trying to be this large desert succulent over and over and over again, what would you call that?
Oh my God.
Well, let's start with the large desert succulent.
A saguaro?
No.
No.
More general, a general term.
Cacti.
Yeah, but
cactus.
Singular, cactus.
Uh-huh.
And if you're trying to be a cactus over and over again, what would you call that?
An actus.
No, we were looking for what is cactus practice?
Cactus practice. It's rhyme time. There we
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
I'm back with us.
Okay.
Great.
For 200, if the grains of the terrain beneath your feet were unimpressive or boring, they might be called this.
Bland sand. What's bland sand?
Correct. For 300. The name of this organ in the body of a chicken that is used to grind harder foods, but when it is found in this desert reptile. I'd say start with the desert reptile and work backward.
A Gila monster? A lizard? A lizard gizzard. What's a lizard gizzard?
There you go. For 400. If little orphan Annie decided to sing about the world's largest desert cactus inside of the most popular song from her musical, it might be called this.
Saguaro, saguaro, I love you, saguaro. You're only...
Well, I was going to say tomorrow, saguaro. Mm-hmm. Because
oh,
those
tomorrow,
rhyme.
Saguaro, yeah.
Because
it's rhyme time.
It's rhyme time. I don't know if you have put that together or not. And finally, for 500, this could be a drag name for a queen out of Tucson if she referenced both this diva queen of rock and roll and this large desert rodent that looks a lot like a warthog.
Who is Javelina Tina?
Yeah, I'll take it. Or who is Tina Javelina?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct. There you
Tina
go.
Tina Javelina Turner.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
it would be, well, there is a Tina Turner.
What about Javelina Turner? No, it doesn't
no,
work.
No, that doesn't work.
Anyway, my Jeopardy is titled Food Homonyms because the word lime is both a
yes.
fruit, but it is also a substance
like
that is
lime.
Yeah, utilized for agriculture, construction, all sorts of things.
Yes.
Yes.
But also, like in this episode, we went on the...
Lime False Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Name for the lime kilns. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so for 100... A sloped cooking pan or a lovely jaunt?
What is a wok? A wok wok?
Yeah, that's right. A wok wok.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Wok wok.
I thought you just wanted one word.
Nope. Okay. I want you to say them both. I know that they're essentially the same sounding, but for 200, part of Miss Muffet's diet to build muscle or another name for a street or alley?
What is way way?
Mm-hmm. For 300, how to keep a tent down or kill vampires and a porterhouse flank or ribeye.
What is a Buffy Buffy
That's
or
it.
A steak steak?
Mm-hmm. For 400, a podcast, novel, or comic book and Special K.
What is... Welcome to Serial. I'm Sarah Koenig.
Mm-hmm.
Serial, Serial.
That's correct. And for 500... Tough love.
Or you could just say Fruit Loops that you eat one bite at a time each day
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Sure.
At the same time every day
it's
for
true.
A week.
For 500. Tough love for some dough or part of Maslow's hierarchy of these.
What is need need?
That's correct. And that's food homonyms. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.